You know, we always end up surprising ourselves whenever we think we're going to have a short show. We end up getting onto some really long discussion, and the show ends up being like surprisingly way longer than we thought it would be.
Set your course for the Hoth system. General Veers, prepare your men.
All troops will debark for ground assault. Prepare to target the main generator.
Echo Station 3PA.
On an Imperial Walker.
Attack pattern Delta. Go now. Watch that clock fire, boys. Right now, I feel like I could take on the whole Empire myself.
Target, maximum firepower.
Imperial troops have entered the bay.
Hello everyone, welcome back to another episode of Echo Base. This is episode number 111. I like that. 111.
Huh? What?
Huh? Who? So, you know, I'm not sure what to expect from the show tonight, guys. We're going to have maybe kind of a short show because we are recording this the week of Force Friday. So literally nothing is coming out this week until Friday or Thursday night. So I don't know what we're going to talk about, but we'll get a few things here, I guess. But before I get into the news, let's introduce my two co-hosts here. We have Chris. How are you tonight, Chris?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thank you. Thank you for asking. I'm excited about Force Friday. Force Friday 2.
I'm just sitting here eating crackers.
Yeah, we know.
So if you hear some crunches.
We heard the wrappers and the crunches. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Tim, save me. How are you tonight?
Thanks to some very old grape juice, I'm doing well.
Would this be fermented grape juice out of a bottle with a cork?
Yes. Okay. Yes. Yeah. Oh, you're familiar.
I am familiar. Yes.
Oh, good for you.
I didn't partake in the old grapes. I partake in the old barley.
Uh-huh.
Tonight. Uh-huh. It's the beverage of choice is Guinness tonight. So,
you know, we always end up surprising ourselves whenever we think we're going to have a short show. We end up getting onto some really long discussion, and the show ends up being like surprisingly way longer than we thought it would be.
That's true.
So it could be interesting. We only have a handful of topics tonight, and this will end up being like a 5-hour show. So brace yourselves, listeners, because here it comes.
It could be a marathon. Okay, so let's see. What do we have in the news? Finn and Han will be in the next season of Forces of Destiny.
Wait a minute.
What?
Since when is Han and Finn girls? Because I was told that this is a female thing. So why are there guys in this female thing?
They can still be in it.
Right. The first ones were, you know... all about them. And maybe they are all about them. They're background characters. I mean, you know, Han's not really a main character, right?
Am I able to mute, Chris?
I hope you know that I'm just being stupid with that question.
No, I know.
I know.
I think.
Now, I haven't watched any of the Force of Destiny stuff. Have you guys caught them all?
I haven't watched all of them, but I've watched many of them.
I stopped after like the fifth or sixth one just because I didn't know that they were still coming out and they were apparently still coming out, so I just stopped.
Mm-hmm.
I think they're fun little shorts. I think they're great. They're nice little interludes between major story points, and you see occurrences happen that can happen between scenes of a major film or things that can happen between the films and characters getting together that we didn't know necessarily got together before. I think they're really cool. So, I think it's great that they are going to do another season of them. So
yeah,
introducing the characters of Finn and Han to them, I think it's going to be really cool. And, it's good.
We'll see. This was revealed in an interview that Trisha Barr did with Carrie Beck from the Story Group. And she did say that Finn would be voiced by John Boyega, which is cool.
Yeah.
And no word yet on who's going to do Han, but I'm sure it'll work out.
Hopefully.
Let's see here. So I kind of spoiled this in our pre-show. We did a listener hangout beforehand, and I was kind of looking through some stuff online for Forest Friday stuff coming up and trying to get myself ready for that. And I saw that Apple is doing a thing in their stores on Forest Friday. And then, you know, I kind of blew it because Tim wanted to bring this up in the show. So, Tim, why don't you tell us about what Apple's doing on Forest Friday?
Apple is doing kind of a series of cool things that they are starting, I guess, on Forest Friday, but they're going to be continuing on for a few weeks afterwards. And they're basically hosting what kind of seems like little workshops. Mm-hmm. The first one, I believe, is how to build your own Star Wars trailer. So what they're doing is they're essentially utilizing programs and apps that Apple has available to them for off their iPad and other products. In this in particular, they're using iMovie, and so they're going to kind of do this stuff. And this is targeted to kids, particularly between 6 and 12, although quite honestly, it sounds really neat to me.
Yeah.
And I'd like to do that.
This is something Apple's done really well over the years. I mean, whether, you know, if you don't buy into the little Apple ecosystem, you probably haven't done this. But if you went to the stores, they will give you training. They have seminars on, you know, how to use some of their software, how to use their products, tips and tricks on using an iPhone or an iPad, primarily because there's really no documentation with it. So if you don't find stuff out yourself, right, you need to have somebody kind of, you know, hold your hand and walk you through stuff. And now tying this into Star Wars and giving people an opportunity to make a trailer or to, I guess the second one is coding with a droid, so they can have, you know, programming with BB-8 and do stuff, you know, on the iPads, on the devices themselves. This just seems really cool. It's going to get kids involved. It's going to get them experience into computer stuff. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, I'm sure people like, you know, Tim and I will be hanging out there too going, hey, can I kind of get in there a little bit and play?
Exactly.
But they do a exactly. good job. Apple does a good job of these kind of things in the store. They really make you feel at home. They make you feel like you're part of the group, and it does give you a heads up on how to do things on the iPhone or the iPad.
Yeah, it's really neat. It's kind of a cool tie-in. Obviously, they're using a pop culture thing and associating that with some of their own programming and some of their own expertise. They're running these, by the way, from Friday, September 1st, so Forest Friday, through Saturday, September 9th, in a variety of countries. I don't know if it's going to be in every single Apple store. It doesn't seem to indicate that in the article that we're looking at here. But I mean,
on the Apple website, they did list a lot of stores local to me, you know, in the New England area. So I'm imagining it's in all the stores, I imagine.
Good.
And they also say at the end of this article, in addition to in-store sessions, it was previously announced that they'll be having augmented reality Star Wars characters appear in the stores, you know, through the iPhone on Force Friday and the week after. So that looks pretty cool as well, too.
Which is cool. And that brings us to our next topic, which is the Find the Force augmented reality pitch that they're doing for Force Friday. So as you go to different stores, if you're familiar with the Star Wars app, And you need the Star Wars app in order to do this whole Find the Force thing. The augmented reality was introduced with the Star Wars app, I believe, initially through an edition of Star Wars Insider, probably a couple years ago. I believe it was actually right before The Force Awakens. And you were able to use the app and the camera on your phone to scan this particular page of the Star Wars Insider, and it kind of popped up on your screen a New Order trooper, and it was really cool because I was amazed by it because it was essentially 3D. I mean, with however you pitched and turned your phone, you could see this from different angles. And it was just, I thought it was really very cool. I like the augmented reality tech. And I think it's great that they are capitalizing on this and continuing with it. So there will be posters and signs and, you know, the big cardboard cutout things in a lot of the participating stores. So you're looking at stores like Toys R Us and Target and Walmart, GameStop, other stores like that, that will have the places that will have this augmented reality thing for Find the Force. And again, you pull up your Star Wars app and you click on the particular area within your app to do this, and it will bring this up. And the cool thing about the augmented reality is that it isn't just that image. It still shows you through your camera what's there. So right. You can like take a selfie with, you know, one of these characters, or you can have a friend of yours, you know, be there, and you can take a picture of them with this character as it, you know, really pops out and comes to life. So I think it's really cool. Kind of a neat thing. And
yeah, I was going to say, this technology is getting better and better. And in fact, I mean, with the last Apple announcement and the new iPhone coming out sometime this fall, they are releasing ARKit, and there's going to be a lot more AR stuff going on. There's been talk about different cameras in the phone to give 3D and better, you know, spatial mapping of rooms and so forth. So it'll make this kind of stuff even better. But yeah, these kind of things are cool. It's kind of like finding Easter eggs in the real world.
Yeah, exactly.
And I keep thinking this is also getting us into kind of like the whole Ready Player One book of you know, being immersed into another world. You're finding stuff out there that's really kind of hidden, but you can see it through your phone.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and there's a lot of neat places. So apparently, just looking at their list here, participating retailers, in the U.S., we're looking at stores like the ones I mentioned, but also Bed Bath & Beyond is going to have something. Best Buy, Books A Million, Brookstone, Build-A-Bear, the Disney Store. FFG has stores? I didn't know that.
No, it's in the online section. If you look at the top, that call is online.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Let's see, FYE, Hallmark. Oh, no,
that wasn't in store. Well, they do have their own game center in, was it Minneapolis?
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, they have a big gaming facility at their brand new location they built a couple years ago.
Okay, cool.
Rooms to go? Okay.
Yeah. Hot Topic, JCPenney, Kohl's, Lego stores, Petco, Staples, Think Geek. I didn't know Think Geek had brick and mortar stores. So that's really cool. Plus, I guess also there are online, a lot of online retailers will, you can find that same icon on their website and go to that and be able to do the same thing. So that's really neat. Obviously, in a lot of other countries, very similarly, they have access to this, although it seems pretty limited. You know, Toys R Us, Walmart, Disney Store, depending on what country you're in. But this is all up on their website here that we're seeing. So it's really neat. I mean, there's a big Admiral Akbar. I want to find the Admiral Akbar because I want to have my picture taken with Akbar.
Well, you know,
and there's a it's a treasure hunt of sorts. And I think that I can't remember what it is. I actually have to take a look at what it is on the StarWars.com site. But I think there's kind of like a contest type of a thing that if you snap the pictures of all of these and then submit them in, you get something. I'm not sure what it is. I did not look at that.
Well, this kind of thing is just cool. Looking at that list of retailers really gives you a sense of who's embracing this, who's not, how far into pop culture or how far into popular, for, you know, everyday stuff that's not Star Wars related. I mean, you think about, you know, Bed Bath & Beyond, for example. They have a lot of Star Wars stuff in the stores, but to make this more interactive with the fans, that's even better. I mean, I'm excited about this. This should be pretty cool to go out and try to find these things. I hope it lets you keep track of the ones you've unlocked and kind of see how many you have left to go, maybe. That'd be kind of cool.
Yeah, I'm interested to see how they structure all that.
Well, cool. What else do we have here in the notes, Tim? Is that the end of our... we have the Star Wars-themed escape room.
Now, this is so cool.
We talked about escape rooms on another show recently. Did we talk about that on a show, Chris, or was that in our lead-up to it?
That was in the show.
Okay.
I didn't know if it was or not. The, Yeah,
it was the expansion escape room at San Diego Comic Con. And we talked about doing one as a group when we get down to New York, but for New York Comic Con. So in a themed escape room, have any of you guys done an escape room, by the way?
I have. No. I have. I did for my birthday earlier this year with my family. We all went out and did a couple of escape room sessions, and they were a riot. They were a lot of fun. It was really cool. It
looks like a lot of fun. I have not done one yet. I'm dying to do one. I'm hoping we can get the group of us when we get out of New York Comic Con to do one together, because I think it'd be really cool. But
yeah,
a Star Wars themed escape room seems even better, right?
I mean, well, yeah, because so it's Star Wars. Star Wars makes everything better.
So for those who don't know, the concept of an escape room is what they put you in a room in either a group of, you know, a couple people to what, maybe 10, maybe depending on whether you're doing this. And you've got to use clues in the room to figure out how to get out of the room. And there's a time limit, right, Tim, usually? Is that what they do? They give you a time limit to get out?
Yes. And the ones that I've done have, like, sequential rooms. It's you basically are going from one room to another, and you're solving a puzzle or doing something to get yourself as a group from one room to the next. And oh, I think they had maybe three or four rooms each until you end up actually escaping.
Okay.
Those were the ones that I did. I know there are some that are single rooms. It's almost like a, you know, escape this jail cell type of thing or something like that, where it's just a single room, but there's a multitude of puzzles within that room that you have to solve.
So now doing that same thing in a Star Wars environment will be cool. I mean, you take on the role of a slicer, take on the role of, you know, your mercenaries and so forth. I think this is just really cool. I mean, any way you can immerse yourself in the Star Wars environment is a plus to me. If you could do this at that, you know, resort we talked about down at Disney World, that'd be even better. You know, make it part of the whole experience. But this one is in London, right?
Yes. Yeah. This one's in Manchester. It is themed Escape the Cantina. The biggest escape room in the world, according to Movie Escape, which is the company which is doing it. So it seems really quite neat. And I'm hoping it's something that we see in other places. Because it would be a shame just to have it in one place where, you know, the rest of us can't get to it.
Well, it's kind of like the cantina they have set up. We talked about in a previous episode that, you know, unless you're there, you're not going to get to go to it. But I wish more of these things would be pop up around the country and do it in different places. I love the fact that they, you know, in the article here, it says fans of George Lucas film franchise must use the Force to try to break out of the room where the film sets, props, and live actors will create an immersive experience.
Yeah.
Is live actors in an escape room a thing usually, or is this something that's kind of unique to this one, do you think, Tim?
From the experience that I had, it was not.
Okay.
I certainly see where it could be an enhancement to the experience by having more people in. And obviously, if they're saying this is the largest one in the world, obviously there would be a lot of room for some actors and such to come in. The experiences that I had with escape rooms, there is a, you know, it's a recording over speakers within the room that are kind of giving you your general instruction, or at least your introductory information within that room for what the puzzle is that you have to solve and very broadly how to solve it. So I think it can certainly be enhanced by having some actors in the room too. Mm-hmm. And if it's in a cantina, well, that's even more realistic.
It makes sense. Yeah. You would have other people, patrons of the bar.
Yeah.
A little further down this article, it says a spokesman for Movie Escape said, while escape rooms are popping up all over the country, ours are more interactive and immersive, are more of an interactive and immersive experience. Our customers leave feeling that they have been part of an experience rather than just a game. Feedback from customers has been amazing. Movie Escape uses film props and sets to build the ultimate movie-themed experience. The more I read about this, the more it just sounds really awesome. I would love to do one of these. I hope they, you know, perfect thing would be to have this at the next celebration, right? I mean, you'd probably never be able to get into it. You'd probably never be able to get in because the line will be like 3 weeks long. But I think it'll be awesome.
Yeah. I think it would be a lot of fun. And, you know, they could create this in one of the, you know, side rooms within the convention hall at Celebration. And I think they could have a lot of success with it. I think it'd be a lot of fun. I mean, the ones I've gone through, there was a space oriented one, which actually reminded me of like Moonraker from James Bond.
Okay.
And there was the other one we did was an Egyptian themed one. So like you got into an Egyptian tomb and you had to figure out how to escape. Both of them were really, really neat. And there's a lot of other themes out there. Different places I've traveled to, you know, some bigger shopping malls, you see them, and they're in some other, you know, standalone out, you know, retail outlet type of areas. And it's been a big thing for the last couple of years. It seems to be catching on more and more, and I'm glad they're doing a Star Wars themed one. I think it's pretty cool.
You know, I'm surprised that there's not a Star Wars escape room already that features the trash compactor.
Yeah.
That should be part of it. Yeah.
Yeah, that would be fun. Like you could, it'd be better if like it was fully interactive. So you know, you get to fall down the chute in stormtrooper armor, mm-hmm. and or a Wookiee costume or a Leia costume, whichever you know when you want. You can get captured by the creature that's in there. I forgot what the name of it is, but get captured and go underwater and almost die, and then you know if you don't get past it, well, you know you get crushed. So
yeah, no, yeah. Well, what are the penalties for not getting out of the room? Do you know? I mean, some people might want to stay.
Definitely death.
Well, some people might want to stay if it's a cantina themed in the Star Wars universe. Maybe you just get in and you go, you know what? I'm going to kick back, grab myself a beer, and I'm just going to kind of hang out here for a while.
Well, Lou, you know we've kind of already done our own Star Wars escape room with a cantina.
Did we?
At Celebration Anaheim, when we were in the cantina and we were told to get out.
True, we did. It wasn't much of an escape because we had to run, but you know, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. The one that I went to, kind of the compelling part of this was that they really trumped up a lot before you went into the room that you were competing for a high score. So it's just like playing a video game.
Okay.
They wanted you to get the high score, compel you to try to get the high score. And it was the high score of all the people who have gone, I don't think for the day, but over maybe the last couple of hours. And in one of them, we did get the high score, and the other one, we did not. We failed pretty miserably.
Based on how fast you get out or how fast you find clues?
It's how fast you get out.
Okay.
Yeah. And one of them, we just got stuck on a puzzle that we could not make it happen. Now, the great thing is that typically, again, at least from the experience that I had with these, it's very much a, you know, group, it's a team thing. And so as a team, you have to be able to communicate and solve puzzles and work together. Going with my family and some other associated people, that worked out pretty well because we all knew each other. If you just show up as one or two people, you will probably end up getting thrown into a group with other people, which you don't know. Which I imagine could be even more challenging because, well, you don't know them. So you're having to deal with some of those initial communication types of issues at the onset. And so you might be a little slower. There could be some personality conflicts and that kind of thing. You know, we all just kind of gelled from the get-go, even though one of the, like I said, on one of these, one of the puzzles just totally stumped us and we could not. Mm. It took us a very long time to get through it.
You know, I imagine these kind of things are great from a corporate training standpoint of just being a team building exercise.
Yeah. Yeah. I think there's a lot of companies that do use them for that. It is fun. It's short. All in all, they are pretty short duration. I mean, I would say 15 or 20 minutes at most.
Okay.
For a lot of these, you're in and out. But if you do a couple of them, there's some good opportunities there.
Okay, well, before we get into our discussion topic for the night, we are once again going to delve into testing out Tim's new segment, fun facts.
And do we have trivia. A name for it? We need a fun name for it.
Fun facts and or trivia. Yeah. That's the name I'm going with for the moment. We don't have
Chris,
one yet.
What else do you want from us?
Tim, it's your segment. You need to come up with a name.
That's true.
I will turn that challenge over to the listeners. Any listeners that have, look, I want to have participation, darn it. So any listeners that have any ideas of what we could name our fun facts or trivia segment, please let us know. Hit us up on all the usual communication methods. You guys know how to get us. It's not hard. We're out there. Find us.
This week, I am off the hook because I took a step backward when Tim asked for volunteers and Chris was left standing on the line. So Chris, this one's all you.
So, first of all, you guys are not going to get this question.
Wow.
I know I've already stumped you because it's so good.
Okay.
Well, then we should just skip it.
No. I need my moment in the spotlight.
Okay.
So, what does Star Wars, specifically the character of Qui-Gon Jinn, have in common with Doctor Who?
Qui-Gon Jinn with Doctor
Who? And I'm not talking about in universe. So, Qui-Gon's not a Time Lord, is what I'm saying. But, real world stuff.
Real world stuff.
What does Qui-Gon have in common?
Now you're saying Qui-Gon, not the actor who portrayed him. Not Liam.
Maybe.
Mason. Okay, well.
When I'm talking about real world, so it's not like I will give you a hint because it is a difficult question. It is.
So it's gonna be Liam Neeson then, not of Qui-Gon, right?
I don't know.
You don't know. What's our hint, Chris? What's our hint? Clue us in.
It involves the portrayal of Qui-Gon.
The portrayal of Qui-Gon.
Yes.
Hmm.
So think about how Qui-Gon has been portrayed since his inception.
Okay. He was basically the mentor of the mentor.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of on the fringes, broke some rules, not totally
not the in-universe character, like the who he was portrayed by.
Okay, so Liam Neeson.
Right.
Yeah.
He has a very particular set of skills.
Uh-huh. He does.
I don't know. Was Liam Neeson in Doctor Who?
He was not.
Okay.
Was there a voice actor who portrayed Qui-Gon in an animated series in Doctor Who?
You're half right.
Hmm.
Okay.
You have me stumped. I don't know.
Yeah, I'm not. I'm sure I don't know. So.
All right. So do you officially give up, and that means Chris wins?
Oh, you know, when you put it like that. Yes, Chris. My give Chris up. Wins.
My give up.
So. In the video games, Star Wars Obi-Wan, Galactic Battlegrounds, Jedi Power Battles, and The Phantom Menace, Qui-Gon was portrayed by actor James Warwick. In other words, he did the voice. James Warwick appeared in 4 episodes of a fifth Doctor story in Doctor Who called Earthshock.
Aha. Uh-huh. Okay.
Okay, yeah, that's obscure.
He was Lieutenant Scott.
Interesting. Okay.
Okay.
So we have a couple degrees of separation
mm-hmm.
from a voice actor. Okay. Cool. I'm down with that. That's some good trivia right there. What was the actor's name again?
James Warwick.
James Warwick. Okay.
Yes, as in Warwick Davis.
Gotcha.
You guys put the pressure on me. Let's come up with something good next week.
The only reason that I knew that was because I was watching a show today on Netflix, and one of the guys talking sounded a lot like Qui-Gon does in the Galactic Battlegrounds video game that I play all the time. It was not, you know, it was not him. So I was like, I wonder who, you know, did the voice for Qui-Gon in those games. And I looked it up, and then I looked at his filmography, and it said Doctor Who. And then I did a little bit more research, and he was in the Earthshock story, which consisted of 4 episodes.
Interesting.
Hmm. Cool.
Okay. Very cool.
And it was during the Fifth Doctor's run. So
that's some good trivia.
Well, thank you, Chris. Thank you.
Lou?
So I win, right? I win?
You win this week, yes.
Yes.
I love
that. You do indeed win. Lou, next week.
Buddy. I know. I gotta throw down here. I gotta find something good.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Then it'll be back to Tim.
I'll start thinking after this episode we're done recording and start to see what I can come up with. I'm sure I'll find something. Probably not as good as Chris, but you know, I will endeavor to match that.
Another round of Stump the Chumps.
Stump the Chumps. Okay, so like I said before, we don't have a lot of stuff to go on about. I'm sure we'll have a lot more next week once we have new toys and experiences from Force Friday and everything we've been looking for that we couldn't find. But you know, there was one article that Chris brought to my attention here, and I think this kind of the easy way to do this would be to say, you know what, this is all about Chris hating the books. But we're not going to just put it that way. There was an article on 1130.
You know, actually, I'm not the one that originally posted this in the Slack channel, believe it or not.
Oh, yeah?
So, yeah. I know that's a big surprise.
Yeah. But, I mean, I shouldn't say I'm surprised, because we have a lot of our listeners that are very passionate about the books. And, you know, in good ways and bad ways. I mean, you can be passionate about the books and still find the stuff that we're getting now not satisfying. I mean, I think that we've all read some of the book. Well, I should say, Tim and I have read some of the books.
Hey, now.
Sorry.
I did read a couple.
We've all read some of the books, and we found varying levels.
Chris, you read part of one that doesn't count for anything.
Reading a chapter of Ahsoka on the train on the way back from New York Comic Con does not count.
No. I did read like half of Heir to the Jedi. I read most of A New Dawn. And a little bit of Ahsoka, a little bit of Lost Stars, like half of Catalyst. So,
okay.
Obviously, the ones that I read the most of were the worst of the books. So,
well, and that kind of, I mean, I think that starts our discussion. The issue with a lot of the novels is that the novels have been taking up these spaces between films or other media, such as Star Wars Rebels, and they have served to introduce characters or kind of fill some of those gaps. And it's not what we're used to from the old EU, from what is now Legends, where they obviously had a lot of license to create a lot of their own stories.
Right.
Do their own character development, introduce their own characters, and go into directions largely where they want it to go. Here, they are stuck to what is established as this new canon, and the rules are a little bit more rigid, which I actually appreciate. But then on the other hand, being a big fan of the Legends novels, I'm finding myself in many ways severely lacking with these new novels, because they're not really allowed to explore that much, and they're not telling fantastic stories like they were in the past. Tarkin to me was very interesting. I liked it. Catalyst was really way too long. I think they could have accomplished Catalyst in half the book. Thrawn was probably my favorite. Out of the new canon, and there's a handful of others that I read, but again, none of them really did it for me. Thrawn probably was my favorite out of those.
Now, you know, I will agree with you at one point, Tim, that the universe that they can play in right now is very limited. You know, until we get more movies under our belts and get more stuff established by the movies, which is always going to be the primary method of getting story out to listeners or to fans of the franchise, you're not going to give them the ability to do whatever they want, because you're still reserving the stories that you want to tell in movies for the prime media, right? I mean, you want to make sure that if you want to tell a story, you're going to save that and not let it get spoiled in the book or get penned into a story that you can't tell the way you want to tell it, because a story in a book format has already given maybe some of the lead up to it. And I don't think that's a bad thing at this point. I mean, we're still in the early days of getting into this new canon since Disney took over, right? So I think we're in a good place. I mean, we haven't gotten great novels yet, I don't think. I don't think anything I've read is like, yeah, this is just amazing. I really like Lost Stars. I really like Bloodlines. Those have tie-ins back to things that feel familiar from the original trilogy. And I don't have to, you know, think about the world and make sure I understand what's going on, whereas in some of the other novels, you're forced to do that, where you're almost forced to fill in the blanks in your own mind.
Sure.
And that's what kind of, I'm not saying I don't want to fill in those blanks, because I do like doing that in books, but I find my mind is also penned in by the whole rules that the story group is giving the authors, because I can't fill in the blanks that I don't know what they're going to give me. I don't want to, you know, change that story in my head to be my own thing and have it get spoiled or have it get changed 2 years from now by another book or movie.
Yeah. And obviously the authors have a certain box that they need to stay within. They can't be venturing off too far into areas that might become other storylines, whether it's through a movie or through some other type of medium. You know, I'm very much looking forward to, I mean, we're on the cusp here of Force Friday. We're just a few days away from it. We're recording this on the 29th of August. So the Phasma book is coming out here in just a few days. I'm really excited about the Phasma book. With The Force Awakens, the character of Phasma was the one that I was looking forward to seeing the most.
You, me, both.
And obviously I had a huge disappointment when Phasma had a whopping, I don't know, 3 minutes of screen time. huge, huge disappointment. So, you know, we've been promised that she's coming back in The Last Jedi, and the Phasma novel is, I believe the Phasma novel is what bridging the two, right? It talks about how she escaped from the Death Star 3 and makes her way, you know, out of there. I think that's that one, right?
Yeah.
Because I know there's the Phasma novel, and I believe there's also a comic miniseries that's coming up at some point that's telling a different storyline for Phasma. But yeah, I'm looking forward to it. Delilah Dawson does some great stuff, particularly with female characters. So I'm especially looking forward to her rendition of this in telling about Phasma. And I'm just looking forward to this really compelling badass character that I was so looking forward to in The Force Awakens. And I'm hoping that we finally get that. And I will tell you, it will be a huge letdown if we don't. So I'm kind of throwing all the chips at this one.
Let me ask you guys a question.
As Chris chuckles thinking, yeah, you fools, you read these books.
Personally, I think an outsider to all of this, given that I don't read, let me clarify. I don't read Star Wars books unless it's something exceptional. Do you think that the fact that people are always like, oh man, I'd love to see a story about that, or why don't we have a story about this? That even if it's something like really tiny, like even as something as, I mean, it's significant, yes, but as small as the Alliance stealing the Death Star plans, like that was something that we didn't know about for the longest time. And yeah, Rogue One was a great movie, but I guess, would you rather see, you know, the smaller stories be told and like the style of events, or would you rather see something that more broadens and expands the universe more quickly? Because the Legends books from the early 90s until the late 2000s, you know, broadened the universe, and it made a different era of Star Wars that we didn't see in the films. But now it feels like we're even with not just the novels, but like Rebels too, and the comics, and even the video games, we're just all staying in like one central period. And I would kind of rather see with the non-film media, you know, be a little bit more expansive when it comes to the stories that you're telling, and not just like rehash some of the questions that we all still have from the movies and, you know, the TV series. Like, did we really need the Ahsoka novel? Did we really need Tarkin? Did we really need A New Dawn? You know, stuff like that. That doesn't really do anything to the universe and to the overall story arc as we know it. Because I feel like they tried to do that, or that the eventual goal with the Aftermath trilogy was to, again, we all thought that it was going to bridge the gap between Return of the Jedi and TFA. And it definitely didn't.
Right. I mean, I think that was the thing. We were sold a bill of goods on that. We all thought it was going to be one thing, and it wasn't. It was something entirely different.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. The stuff that
I read... And it's like the comics. I was just going to say, it's like the comics, too. The first issue of Star Wars, when Marvel took over from Dark Horse, was post A New Hope, pre-Empire. And I'm pretty sure that's where it still is. And I'm like, why? It just feels like filler, honestly.
Hmm. Well, I mean, you know, the stuff that I have liked the most out of the new canon is the stuff that kind of ties back into the original trilogy. And this kind of goes against what I've said in the past on the show, that I feel like we're spending too much time on these one thing. So let's see what's going on in the rest of the universe. But it's not really a contradiction, because I like the stories that tell a different story about what was going on at the same time something else happened.
Yes.
I mean, that's why Lost Stars was so fascinating to me. Yeah, you had context of what was going on. It was the story of, you know, what happened on Darth Vader's ship as it was coming and going. It was at the Death Star. It was away from the Death Star. It came back. You know, it put it in perspective for me, and it felt really, really good. Not to say I don't want stuff that's totally different, but I really like the stuff that ties back into the stuff we've seen on screen. Give me a setting, a place of context for it.
I think a lot of it comes down to, Chris, some remarks that you've made earlier about Lucasfilm and Disney not taking enough risks. And, you know, they're staying very tight to the things that they are
familiar with.
Yeah, that they're familiar with and that they're currently working on, and they're kind of afraid to venture off. And, you know, right now, obviously, a lot of focus is on the sequel trilogy. Yes, we had Rogue One. Yes, we will have the Han Solo film. But they're not touching anything. They're certainly not touching anything in the prequel trilogy.
Mm-mm.
And there's, I think, a lot to be explored there. You know, there was the Ahsoka novel, which essentially took place between the prequel trilogy and the original trilogy. And that kind of focuses a little bit more on bridging the gap between the Clone Wars and Rebels.
Yeah.
Which is good, and I think that's great. And obviously Ahsoka is a great character. I love the Ahsoka character. And I want to see that character explored more. But there is a lot from the prequel trilogy, which is kind of going unexplored, at least for the time being. We saw with the Legend stuff that there was this kind of shotgun approach in many considerations to the novels, where it was just, hey, let's put out a novel of anything and see what sticks. A lot of them were good, some of them were not. And I think we're kind of in a position now where we're seeing that some of them are good, but a lot of them aren't, which is really, it's really unfortunate, because I think, and maybe it's just simply the expectation that we have as readers of the old EU, where there was so much new content that explored so many new things, and it was so interesting, versus now these new novels are very much in a box. And I don't mean to be negative or to knock these new novels, because they are exploring these little niches between time periods that we are aware of, which I think can be fun. It can be very valuable. And, you know, a book like Tarkin, which was a good novel, which was also, interestingly enough, referenced, there were events in that that were referenced in the Thrawn novel, which I thought was really cool, that they were referencing each other. It just, I'm still left wanting more, in a lot of respects.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I just don't, and this is, you know, going beyond the books too, you know, going into comics and, future, you know, animated or even spinoff films. I don't get the fascination or the really the obsession that some people have about having to know about every single little thing that happened either to a character or some kind of like side note to an event or really anything, especially stuff that involves the original trilogy. Like, that, I mean, that's why I really wish they would have kept some of the Legends material, you know, not all of it, obviously, but at least the stuff that were the already stories for it. Just because it's, you know, now you can focus on the future of Star Wars and not the past of Star Wars. Like, honestly, again, I don't really care about what Han Solo is doing before A New Hope, which is what we're going to see with the movie. You know, we had the Kenobi announcement. I love Obi-Wan, but do we really need that? No. We already have a fine Obi-Wan story in the John Jackson Miller book, which isn't canon, but again, it's just, I don't know. I would much rather be interested in seeing content in all mediums, not just books, in future stuff, or, you know, maybe fill in the gaps between some things here and there. Like Rebels is totally fine, because that is a big period that, you know, we just didn't know about.
Yeah.
And I would argue some of the stuff that we've seen in Rebels has been crucial to the overall understanding of the saga and Rogue One as well. But, you know, are we really going to get anything major from a Kenobi movie or the Han Solo movie or a Boba Fett movie or, God forbid, a Jabba the Hutt movie? I mean,
well, it doesn't have to be something major from those movies, because remember, they're side stories. They're not part of the main, you know, story that we're putting.
But would you rather? My point is, would you rather have those in, or would you rather have stuff about between TFA and Return of the Jedi, or pre-Episode One?
Because when we look at a lot of the stuff that occurred in the Legends novels, we saw monumental story threads that occurred that were outside of the existing films, and, you know, completely different directions that we saw the Star Wars universe and characters and groups of characters go into. And here we're really for the better or the worse. Again, I mean, I see the good side of it, but I also see the bad side of it. We are stuck to this particular thread of canon, which is very restrictive in terms of any media that is not the films. And so the novels have to stay between these lines, and the comic books have to stay between these lines, and the animated series have to stay between these lines. And they're not venturing off into other things, where in all actuality, especially if they create some tertiary characters, they really could explore some completely different things that happen in a parallel timeline to what's going on in the films, but it doesn't have to be stuck to our main characters.
Well, let me play devil's advocate for a minute here. You know, before we had this new story group, people would complain that the stories were disjointed, they were all over the place, it was hard to follow, you know, it wasn't cohesive. Now we have this, and we're still complaining that we don't get the stories we want, we don't get enough diversity, we don't get enough differentiation in stories. You really can't have it both ways, right? You got to have either stick to the plan and kind of do what we let you do, or make it a free-for-all, and you can't please everybody all the time. So, you know, which way is better?
Right.
Well, I think to maybe not really have a solid answer to your question, Lou, but have a discussion point to it, is that maybe they thought the answer was, you know, having this big cohesive story that everything is all connected, and, you know, now we're just filling in some gaps here and there and letting, you know, the movies do the future stuff. But now that, I mean, yeah, people are still reading the content, and it's not like, you know, sales are down or anything when it comes to the books, but it's like you guys were saying, they've been less than stellar.
Yeah.
And people talk about that, and, you know, if that trend continues, eventually there will be people saying, well, you know, I didn't really like the past 10 books, so I probably won't buy the three that come out this year, or, you know, I'll only buy one of the three that come out this year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, and you know, that's not really down to, I don't think it's the fault of the authors per se. I honestly believe it's story and direction and the fact that, you know, now they're so limited on what they say, because, you know, it's like, let's say this is an absurd example, but let's say in the Catalyst book, they, you know, James Luceno accidentally gave Jen the wrong eye collar than Felicity Jones. You know, it's technically canon now. And then, you know, everyone will ask Pablo Hidalgo, well, which one's really, like, what's her real eye collar? Hmm. It's just, I don't know. It's again, that's an absurd example, but, you know, you could probably think of something more realistic than that, but it's still, the point remains the same. Like, they just have to be very careful about the way they do things. And,
well, and I think really what your point here is, Chris, is really the question of, is the current canon too tight? Are we staying too close to this path that we're on? I mean, why can't we branch off a little bit from it? Why can't we tell stories about tangential characters a little bit more, and really kind of picking up with some of the things that Pablo has said in his responses to people, where some of these conflicts have shown up of, well, the film said this, and then this comic book portrayed it this way, which his response was, well, these are all stories, and the way that Lucasfilm portrays them, regardless of the medium, is that they are being told from a third-party perspective somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's a collection of stories, just as if it was, you know, the three of us passing stories on from things that we've all experienced. And sometimes we experience those things individually. Sometimes we experience them together. And even if the three of us were together in a particular instance, I may tell a story a different way from how you would or Lou would.
Mm-hmm.
And so we sometimes have different spins, different perspectives, maybe some slightly different, even conflicting details. And that's okay. And I'm totally cool with that. And I'm good with that explanation, because I personally don't care what, you know, canon dialogue is, or the eye color of a particular character or something like that. That overall doesn't matter to me in terms of the greater story. So with that, let's explore a little bit. Let's loosen things up some. Let's tell more stories that are kind of offshoots from this solid direction that we're going in. You know, and even though there's been a lot of criticism to the Aftermath trilogy that Chuck Wendig did, I do kind of give props to him in the sense that he largely told the story with offshoot characters that did not exist before, in a storyline that paralleled anything that would be, you know, quote, official canon, and was able to still kind of weave in and out of what the official story could be. And I think he did that fairly well. And I know some folks are critical of his writing style and some of the characterizations and that kind of stuff. But all that stuff aside, let's just simply look at the trajectory of his story. And I think he did actually really well with that. And maybe refine that a little bit more with some other authors. And I think we could have some success with that, in kind of achieving what it is that we're looking for in expanding this new canon and this new Star Wars universe that we find ourselves in.
So let me ask you guys this. Let's say that, I mean, I don't want to say, you know, throw aside all of the new canon, because that's not realistic, but let's say you were tasked to come up with a future direction of the way the books and the comics and the non-film media stuff will be told, and the stories that you tell going forward, how would you prefer that to be done? Does that make sense?
Personally, I would be employing more people to tell more stories
across. So you would have more content than what we're getting right now?
Yeah.
Across multiple mediums.
Yeah, I would have more content out there, and, you know, kind of, I guess, going to what the Legend stuff did, really with that shotgun approach, and tell some stories and see what sticks, and across multiple genres. Let's do some stuff that's prequel. Let's do some stuff that's original trilogy. Let's do some stuff that's sequel trilogy. And let's do some things parallel to those, or even outside of those. Maybe tell some things that are prior to the prequel trilogy. I'm still good with some of those in-between stories, because we do have some gaps. I think, you know, in the last episode of Echo Base, we spoke about what stories we might like to see with these Star Wars stories films, these standalone films like Rogue One and the Han Solo film, and potentially the Obi-Wan Kenobi film and the Yoda film, or the Jabba the Hutt film, you know, for as ridiculous as I think some of those are, something that I didn't think of until the day after we recorded was, I would love to see a story on Order 66. You know, at the end of episode 3, we only saw like a minute and a half of just tiny little snippets of that execution of Order 66. But there has got to be some phenomenal stories of survival and betrayal that could occur within that smaller time period, which I think would be incredible. And whether it's a movie or a comic series or a book. In fact, I'd love to see it more than just a book. I'd love to see a series of books on that. You know, give us that. I think there's some really neat things there to explore. I mean, obviously, there's a lot of ideas out there, and I also do respect what Lucasfilm and what the story group has to deal with, because they're probably bombarded with ideas on a daily basis of fans who say, we want to see this, we want to see that, we want to see ABC, we want to see XYZ, and they're needing to prioritize that. They obviously have budgets they have to work within. They have some thoughts on their established storylines that they have to work within, and they have priorities and all that kind of stuff. So, you know, we can postulate all we want about the things that we want to see as fans, but there's also real world business decisions that need to be made here with what they have to do. So I do respect that as well.
Now, I could probably sit and pick apart some of the things you said, but I will refrain just because I'm dying to hear what Lou has to say.
You know, I was listening to Tim talk, and I agree with, like you said, but like you, Chris, some of it I agree with, some of it I don't. You know, I don't want them to open the faucet up and just give us everything. I don't want to have that much stuff coming out at one point. It gets overwhelming. It's too much to keep up with. I want there to be a controlled flow of stuff coming out. Now, that being said, I think I want to change the direction of what we're getting. You know, we don't, you know, we've said before, we don't really want the Han Solo movie. I mean, there's certain things we want, certain things we don't want. I think I'm worried about a Han Solo movie because I don't think it's going to be a story I want to hear. And yet, I'm looking back at Legend stuff, and, you know, I was probably one of the few people that really liked the, you know, Corellian trilogy, which told a lot of Han's backstory.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, and some after this stuff, too. Was that the one that did the backstory, or was that the one that did the after? I forget which one was which now. But there were some stories that talked about Han's backstory and how he came to be, you know, how he had the debt to the Jabba. And it was like, wow, this is great stuff. I enjoyed reading those back in the day. Mm-hmm. Would they make a good movie? I don't know. So, I mean, I don't know. It's tough to say what direction I think they should take. I would like to see him take more chances with stuff that's not going back and getting us the Yoda movie or the Jabba the Hutt movie or the Han Solo movie. I want things that are new and different. I want them to keep expanding the storyline and go in more new creative ways. I don't need you to retell me the stories that I already have as Legends. I mean, I know you get rid of the Legends so that we could do our own thing and not be encumbered by what came before. But, you know, I mean, I'm good with the Legends and I'm good with those stories. I don't need you to retell me in a new way, you know, what Han's life was like after, you know, directly after Jedi.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So, I mean, I guess I'm saying I want them to be creative and give me new and different stuff. Really expand on what Star Wars is and go beyond the Skywalkers. Go beyond the stuff we already know. You know, give mm-hmm. me stuff in a different direction. You know, give me the story of how, and I don't know. I mean, there's so many more stories they could tell that we don't even have a connection to stuff that we've already seen, but do it in a way that makes me really want it. Otherwise, I'm lost and I'm floundering, and I need to have some grounding in what we already get. So give me the stuff that's tangential to it, but not about the main characters. I don't need to see Han, Leia, and Luke again.
Right.
You know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I just wish that, and you guys probably already know this, and listeners too, so I won't get into much details, but, you know, don't release as much stuff. Don't really worry about, you know, the ancillary stories that, you know, yeah, Order 66 would be cool. I agree, Tim, but it's not needed. We already know the end conclusion. Like, it's not a new event or a new story. Yeah, I love Rogue One. It's honestly probably, you know, in the top three of my favorite Star Wars movies, but was it truly needed? One can argue no. I would probably say maybe it is, just because it's such a perfect companion to A New Hope. But, you know, only really the last battle, I guess. But you know, don't release every single little detail. Like it's yeah, fans are going to ask for it, but does it really matter? No, like it doesn't matter what, you know, what Han's debt to Jabba was. It doesn't matter how Han and Lando met. It doesn't matter. Like, yeah, people are going to ask those questions, and it's neat to maybe have those details. But one, you don't have to put a whole book to it, or a comic series, or a, you know, even a movie. Maybe years ago, yeah, when there was nothing else to be told. But you know, we have three new movies coming out, a whole new trilogy. Like, why can't we have something that was immediately before TFA or? Or, I mean, you really can't do anything in between TFA and Last Jedi because they are back-to-back. But if they weren't, I mean, if they were, if Last Jedi was like a year after TFA, I highly doubt that we would see any kind of books in between.
Yeah, I mean, I think the books are good for stuff. And I was talking before about all media together, but you know, in the books or in the comics, you could certainly do stuff about, you know, the things that we thought we were going to get in that, you know, journey to the Force Awakens, of, you know, where'd the First Order come from, how'd they rise to power, you know, these are things that took place after Jedi that don't necessarily involve our main characters, our heroes.
Yeah, and see, that's the kind of stuff that maybe should be put in either a series, like a TV series, or a like a trilogy of novels, similar to what Aftermath was doing, but just better. And you know, leave like the small, not major details up to the comics, or you know, like a Tales of type of short story book. I have no idea whatsoever why we're not seeing more short stories and more novellas being released. I mean, look at The Expanse. They have a whole, like a set of books, and then some novellas thrown in about, you know, other details related to that. So I don't know why we're not getting that with Star Wars. Like, why does everything have to be a big novel or a young adult thing? Like, you know, put out some novellas, some short stories, an insider, or a collection, or something, you know?
Well, we are getting a collection of short stories pretty soon.
Well, yeah, it's one.
Right. And, you know, I mean, it comes down to, I think, that if you ask 10 different Star Wars fans what they want, you're going to get 10 different answers,
exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
So none of us can all give the same things. I mean, I want to know what led to the, you know, New Order, sorry, the First Order, and what led to them creating this rift between the rebellion, what happened after the rebellion succeeded, you know, that's the stories I want to get. And I like the fact that, like, when you get, you know, was it Lost Stars, had some of those beginnings, you know, of that whole thing. And you're like, wow, okay, that's really cool. I want more. Some people,
yeah, care, but less. It's only they, some. That's right. The point.
But it was a tease into that story that made me want more. Some people really want the Han Solo movie, I'm sure, and they want to know. Okay, now that we know the legend stuff is out the window, what really was the story, you know, with Han Solo? Where did he come from? What was his background? And I applaud them for wanting that. It's not something I want. You know, I didn't want Jar Jar Binks either, but, you know, that's a different story entirely. So we're never all going to get what we want. I think one thing I would like from our listeners is to, you know, give us an email, write into us, and tell us what your perfect direction for the new canon is. You know, what would you do for comics, books, short stories, TV series, whatever, to support the trilogy going forward? I think that's a good question to ask, and we'll get some feedback, and maybe we'll read some of these on the air in an upcoming episode.
Yeah. I like it.
Okay, so unless you guys have any more on this, I think we'll kind of wrap up. We actually did a good length episode. We thought we would be short, but we're good. So if you don't have anything else, I think we'll just kind of wrap things up, guys.
Works for me.
Works for me.
Okay. So if you want to write it into us and tell us what your direction for the story group should be, you know, if you were the story group, what would you be, you know, making sure we get pitched? Send us an email to echobase@randomchatter.com. That's the best way to get a hold of the three of us and give us your ideas.
You can also reach out to us online on our social media accounts. We have our Facebook, facebook.com/randomchatternetwork. We have the show Twitter. It's at Echo Base Podcast. By the way, apologies if you tweet there and you don't get a response. We don't really have anybody running that account at the moment, so sometimes I log on to check. Sometimes what? I don't. Yeah. Tim, you need to get on that. Get on it or find.
We will work on that.
So yeah, that might be why you're not seeing it, but you know it does get read. Just tweet us to it individually because it's easier to do it that way. But that is at Echo Base Podcast. At Random Chatter is the network Twitter. My Twitter is at The Curse of Chris. Lou, what is your Twitter?
It's just my name. It's at Lou Secchi. That's LouSecki.
And Tim.
At Qui-Gon Tim, that's Tim with two M's.
And don't forget, you can find all of our shows, including the past episodes of Echo Base, at randomchatter.com.
Do you know people that like Star Wars? Of course you know people that like Star Wars. You have
friends, I don't.
You have family. Chris, I'm not talking to you. You have friends, you have family, you have Lou.
Yes.
Sorry. Friends, family, coworkers, complete strangers. If they like Star Wars, tell them about us. Hopefully they will enjoy us as well. Encourage them to subscribe to our feed, listen to us, give us a try, all that kind of good stuff. Maybe even some complete strangers. You can kind of help reach some complete strangers by leaving us some good reviews on iTunes and Stitcher. You know, all the stars, and write in some good stuff, and you know, tell them why you like us and why you think we're so good. Obviously, you know, your friends and stuff, you should have more of a lengthy conversation with. Sit them down and say, hey, look, I have to have a serious conversation with you about Star Wars and about, you know, the fandom and about podcasts that are out there that people might like. And yeah, you know, that's good stuff. What we also appreciate is any kind of support you can throw at us. Even $1 a month helps us to, you know, keep the lights on around here, helps take care of our server space and all that kind of stuff. Patreon.com/randomchatter. That's like the best way that you can do this. It's actually the only way that you can do this. Patreon.com/randomchatter. Even just that $1 a month gets you access to our Slack channel, which is our online discussion group. We reference it pretty darn often most of the episodes that we do, either kind of in general or some of the very interesting characters that happen to frequent the place. It's kind of like a bar. I've actually come to that realization. It's kind of like a bar. It's like Cheers, except for Star Wars. So I guess it's like the cantina. I guess that's kind of the direction I have to go with this. And, you know, there's people there. There's some regulars. There's some folks who are not so regular, but they stop in once in a while and say, hey. There's some different conversations that occur here and there. You know, you've got the people who run the place are there pretty regularly. You've got some other regulars. It's yeah, it's a good time. There's some fun stuff. So just $1 a month of Patreon, patreon.com/randomchatter, gets you into that. You want to be in the cantina. Why would you not want to be in the cantina? The cantina is a cool place. Even though there's an escape room for the cantina, you don't want to escape the cantina. You want to stay in the cantina. Exactly. The way to get into the cantina and stay in the cantina, patreon.com/randomchatter. Throw some dollars at us. $1, $2, $5, $10, all sorts of stuff. We have perks at various levels, the $1 level, the $5, the $10, the $15, $20, etc. If you want to throw some money at us that is outside of those bounds, say you really, really like us and you want to throw us, I don't know, $50, or you want to throw us $100. Or $1,000, or you know, maybe you just won the Powerball or whatever it is, and you know, hey, here you go, Random Chatter. Here's $1,000,000. What am I going to get out of my $1,000,000 donation? Reach out to us, talk to us. we can send you the, I was going to say we could send you Lou in a Jar Jar costume, but I've said that before. What else is there? There's got to be something else creative.
We'll give him a, it'll be a surprise.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, and it's certainly open for negotiation. I mean, if you just want like Lou sighing as your ringtone, we can do that. We can put that on a loop and just have that as your ring. That might actually be my new ringtone. I mean, I can
get
the audio for this episode.
Your text notification can be me saying that I hate Star Wars. Like, every time you get a message, I hate Star Wars. I hate Star Wars. There you go.
Yeah. Yeah. See, and if you're good, you could actually just rip that right off this audio, but, you know. Or you can donate thousands of dollars to us.
And that is copyright to me, Chris McGuffin. So. Yeah.
And Chris will actually sell it to you for nothing. Because he's a good guy like that. He's a good guy like that. Chris, tell us about the music.
All right. So the music that you hear in this podcast is The Force Theme by Scandroid and The Imperial March by Cell Dweller. Support the official
take
release.
Take us out of here.
Thanks, everybody, for listening. We will be back at you after we get our new loot from Force Friday 2. If you say 2. Thanks for listening. See ya.